Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a rather unexpected skirmish over a symbol most would assume sort of transcends mere earthly squabbles, the cross.
Right, and the setting is almost, well, mundane, the EU Intellectual Property Office in Alicante.
Exactly. UIPO decisions are usually, you know, incredibly dry, not exactly headline news.
But this one has layers. It really does.
It involves this almost darkly funny situation. Two Vienna-based Christian organizations
block in a 16-year legal battle.
Yes, over the commercial rights to the cross. It's like simmering gegen Kapfenberg, as they say. Intense rivalry between seemingly aligned groups.
Oh, absolutely. Not secular versus sacred, but sacred versus, well, sacred-ish, maybe?
Yeah,
about branding.
That's the core of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So our mission today is to unpack this whole trademark mess.
Yeah, look at the collision of, you know, religious symbols, money, Austrian law.
And even this attempt to push canon law into the secular legal space, which is fascinatingly cynical.
And we're drawing on analysis from Clemens Lynchinger, the Austrian jurist. An atheist, importantly.
Which gives him that detached perspective, doesn't it? He can cut through the piety.
Exactly. Straight to the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Commodifying religion and the tension with secular government. Essential stuff.
Okay, so the players. First, the St. Urbanus Vine Ritter Ordens Collegium.
Sounds grand.
It does, but under Austrian law, they're a secular association, basically.
Right. Named for St. Urban, patron saint of winemakers. Hence the logo. Eight-pointed cross, grapes.
And their motto, Pro Vino et Sodalitate.
For wine and fellowship.
Pretty much sums it up. A bit of faux chivalry, maybe.
You could say that. Guardians of the West, perhaps after a few glasses. They filed for a trademark in 2008.
And not just for wine. Badges, emblems, education, cultural stuff, exhibitions, research.
Wine analysis, naturally. Covering their bases.
Which brings us to the opposition. The Souveräner Malteser Ritter Orden Großpriorat von Österreich.
The Grand Priory of Austria, the Order of Malta.
Yeah.
The ones people usually associate with ambulances, hospitals.
Charity work, humanitarian aid, that's their public image.
So it's a bit surprising to see them jump into a trademark fight.
Definitely raises an eyebrow. Their argument that St. Urbanus, using the eight-pointed cross.
Which the EUIPO called a Maltese cross.
Right. Would infringe on their older trademarks.
And here's the kicker. Those older marks weren't just for their, you know, charitable stuff.
No. They also had trademarks for beer, wine, sparkling wine.
Even some non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
They actually produce wine themselves at Mailberg in Lower Austria.
So a comprehensive approach to needs, spiritual and otherwise.
You could put it that way. So you've got this secular wine group and this major Catholic charity.
Both potentially using a similar symbol for overlapping commercial interests. Wine, maybe badges.
But initially, St. Urbanus tried to get the whole thing thrown out on a technicality.
Yeah, they said the Grand Priory couldn't even oppose because they weren't properly registered commercially or as an association.
A neat legal argument based on Austrian corporate structures.
But the Grand Priory pulled out this document from 1984.
An old one, yeah. From the Ministry of Education and Arts.
Recognizing them as a corporation under public law with its own legal personality.
Ah, and there's the rub, as Lynchinger points out.
Exactly, the delicious paradox. If the Grand Priory has its own legal personality,
then it can't be legally identical to the main overarching sovereign military order of Malta, the Malteser Orden.
Right, they kind of shot themselves in the foot there, legally speaking.
You'd think, but then they tried a different tack. Canon law.
Ah, yes, the appeal to a higher or at least different authority.
They argued their unity with the main order should be viewed through the lens of church law.
Where the Grand Priory is just like an internal branch, part of the whole.
But the UEPO wasn't having any of it.
No, this is where it gets really interesting. They were incredibly clear.
They basically said, and I'm quoting loosely here, look, legal personality is judged by national law, period.
Yeah, canon law is not part of the Austrian legal order, unless Austria specifically says it is, which it doesn't.
And they added that the concordat, the agreement with the Vatican, doesn't give the church power to define legal personality for others under Austrian law.
So blunt, basically, your internal church rules. You're relevant here.
The firm smackdown. It reinforced that secular law is supreme in this context.
So under Austrian law, the Grand Priory is its own thing. separate entity.
Which completely undercut their original argument about being identical to the main order for trademark purposes.
It really highlights that friction point, doesn't it, between religious rules and state law.
Absolutely. But just when you think their case is dead in the water.
They pull out another rabbit.
Sort of. A letter from the main Maltese Ordens ambassador.
Okay. And this letter said what?
It granted the Austrian Grand Priory the right to use the main order's trademarks.
Ah.
And crucially, to file oppositions like this one in their own name.
So a workaround, a licensing agreement, essentially.
Pretty much. And the UUIPO accepted that. Not the canon law argument, mind you. That was totally rejected.
Right. They got standing as a licensee.
Which is why Lenschinger had that great line. Operation Gelungen. Patient taught.
Operation Success. Patient dead. Perfect. They won the right to oppose, but their core argument was demolished.
Exactly. And the irony continues. Because even after winning the right to argue the case...
They lost on the substance.
Completely. The EUIPO found no likelihood of confusion.
Between the Order of Malta's trademarks, mostly health, charity.
And the St. Urbanus Group's focus on, well, wine culture.
Hardly the same market, is it?
Not really. As Lenschinger noted, it was kind of predictable. People aren't likely to confuse an ambulance service with a wine club just because both use a cross.
Especially an eight-pointed cross, which the EUIPO pointed out is a fairly common historical heraldic symbol anyway, not exclusive.
Right. And the opposition based on the Grand Priory's own marks, like for their wine, also rejected. No confusion found there either.
And that last bit about non-registered union trademarks.
This is missed out of hand because, well, union trademarks need to be registered. It's in the name.
So total failure for the Grand Priory's opposition.
Utterly rejected. Makes you wonder if the St. Urbanus guys celebrated with some Mailberg wine from the Priory's estate.
That would be poetic justice or just peak irony.
It definitely adds a certain flavor.
So stepping back, the bigger picture here. Lenschinger says, look, commercializing religious symbols, that happens. Not shocking in our world.
No, that's almost mundane now, sadly. What's more concerning, he argues,
and bedenkly questionable from a rule of law perspective,
is the attempt to use canon law's special paths to push economic interests, to place church law above state law.
That's the really disturbing part. He compares it quite starkly.
He does. He says, ein solches Vorgehen erinnert in forma gerne Rechtsauffassungen etwa an die Scharia.
It reminds one of pre-modern legal concepts like Sharia law.
Und offenbart eine frappierende Ignoranz gegenüber dem verfassungsrechtlichen Prinzip der Säkularität.
And reveals a stunning ignorance of the constitutional principle of secularity. That's strong language.
It is. But arguably justified when you see this kind of maneuver. Trying to leverage religious law for commercial gain in a secular system.
It shows a profound lack of respect for that separation, doesn't it? Almost an arrogance.
Yes. And that this is happening in 21st century Europe. It should give us pause. It's not just some obscure trademark fight.
No, it touches on fundamental principles. The boundary between religious authority and secular law.
And how those boundaries are being tested, perhaps eroded.
Which leads us to a final thought for our listeners. Considering this clash over a cross and a trademark office, where else are these tensions playing out?
Right. What other areas of modern life see this friction between secular rules and religious claims, especially where money or influence is involved?
And what are the potential long-term consequences for that principle of secularity, the separation of church and state, especially in our globalized world?
Something to ponder. Perhaps, as you said, over a decidedly secular drink.
Indeed. Thanks for diving into this rather tangled tale with us.